It's time for the Children's Hour.
This week on the Children's Hour, summertime means going to the pool, picnics in the park, and for Santa Fe, New Mexico, summertime is opera season. We visited the world-renowned Santa Fe Opera to find out more about what opera is and how kids can get involved. Summertime is also a great time to dig into new books, and we've got suggestions for kids of all ages.
It's all in an hour.
The Children's Hour!
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a tax-exempt nonprofit dedicated to producing high-quality kids' public radio, and by the Friends of the Children's Hour. Learn more at childrenshour.org. Meow Wolf is a proud supporter of the Children's Hour. Meow Wolf believes that engaging educational content is one of the best ways to fuel a child's imagination, and that's truly a powerful thing.
Stay tuned for
The Children's Hour!
Kids Public Radio!
What's a frog's favorite summertime treat?
I don't know.
What? Popsicles!
It's time for The Children's Hour! Live from the Sunspot Studio! Work done.
Get your day's work done. Oh, soon you'll be ready. Make your plans today, or the evening's on, or you'll end up racing with the sun. Oh, she works all through.
Oh, she works all through.
And she battles one.
And he battles one.
Now he'll never, never be racing with the sun. Oh, hot, hot time. Oh, hot, hot time.
Hot, hot time.
But today on medically. Oh, she works all through.
Oh, she works all through.
And she battles one.
And he battles one.
Now he'll never, never be racing with the sun.
Racing with the sun.
Racing with the sun.
the Waylon Jennies, live from the Mouch Chunk Opera. And this is the Children's Hour. I am Katie Stone. I'm just so happy to be with everyone here in the studio. We're at the Sunspot Studio today. It's a beautiful day to be here. And I got a whole crew full of people here. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. It's so nice you're here. And summertime is finally here. Let's start over here. I'm Katie Stone.
Hi, I'm Sienna.
Hi, it's Siobhan.
Hello, it's Haley.
Hi, this is Julia.
And it's so great you're all here. So tell me what is, to tell you what's coming up on the show. Sienna, you paid a visit to the Santa Fe Opera.
Yes.
Pretty incredible?
Yeah, it was really cool to see everything there and see that it's more than just a building. Like, it's a whole community of people there.
I can't wait for everyone to hear what you took your own mic. You went up there and did a whole field recording all on your own. I'm so proud of you. Can't wait for everybody to hear that. We're also going to be talking about our favorite books because summer is such a great time to read. I just love laying outside with a book, reading till I fall asleep. It's one of my favorite things to do. So what about you all? Are you reading a lot?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Do you all have books that you're going to recommend to our listening audience?
Yeah.
Yep.
Possibly.
Yeah?
Possibly. Okay. Well, I know I have some too. Anything else going on with everybody? It's summer. Yeah. What are you all doing with your summer? What do kids do? I know when I was a kid, we would just like get up in the morning and we'd go to the city pool and we'd basically be there all day until you were super sunburned. And then we would come home and we'd be like hot and hungry. What do you guys do for the summer?
Well, I'm doing an internship at the Albuquerque Biopark.
Cool.
We're teaching people about animals and plants that they have there.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. And anybody else? What are you guys doing? Yeah.
I'm doing a summer camp.
Nice. Is what happens at your summer camp?
Well, you can take a bunch of different classes, and like one of my classes, I'm working with like the younger kids of the thing of like the camp. So yeah.
Nice. So you're sort of like a counselor in training kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, how cool! Yeah.
I'm volunteering at my school's garden.
Wow. And, what does that involve?
Let's see. Well, we recently just built bean trellises and
neat. So the beans have something to climb on.
Yeah, that took pretty much all day.
I spend a lot of my summer in the garden. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. Well, Haley's like, well, I am, obviously. I just told you. Well, we have a lot of things coming up for you. Books that you should be reading this summer or that you could be reading this summer. Going to the library to do that. Learning all about the Santa Fe Opera, which is really a magical, beautiful place. But in the meantime, I thought we might play a little bit of this. This is coming off of a CD by the Hip Waiters, and it's called The Golden State. It's a short one, but a really good one. You're tuned to the Children's Hour, broadcasting live from the Sunspot Solar Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Playing in the summer sun.
This one time, my parents took us to a beach, and I was laying in the sun so long, and I got so burnt. Well, pretty soon, his family come. They come down from Alberta, and they set up their chairs and whatnot, and their plates and forks and cups and spoons, and they fried a whole dinner on my back. That's how burnt I was. That's how hot I was.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy.
Totally asleep. I had the weirdest dream.
woke up.
I was mistaken.
It was totally a dream.
I hugged my head and cried.
Bit of a nightmare, actually.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Now, everyone likes to play outside. Heck, I know I like to play outside. I like to ride horses and play ball and all those things. But we got to be careful. We got a problem with the ozone layer, everybody. We got to put on sunscreen. You can't just go out and sit in the sun anymore. You got to be protected, and that means sunscreen. Sing with me.
You are my sunscreen, my only sunscreen. You make me happy when skies are sunny. You'll never know, dear, when you'll get sunburned. Please don't take my sunscreen away.
One more time.
You are my sunscreen.
You are my sunscreen.
My only sunscreen.
You're the only sunscreen I have.
Make me happy.
Make me so pleased
when
to punch.
Skies are sunny.
Oh, gosh.
You'll never know, dear.
You're never gonna know.
When you'll get sunburned.
Shomo and the Monkey Bunch. They're from Canada. And their sunscreen song from their self-titled CD that came out a long time ago. Julia, you're up at the mic.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Julia. You've got book recommendations.
Yeah. So for my 6th birthday, I was given a book called Zen Shorts. And I recently rediscovered, or I guess I found this book again when we were going through old boxes. And this Zen Shorts is by John J. Muth, published by Scholastic Press, and it's a beautiful short story with illustrations about three children who befriend a wise panda that teaches them many interesting life lessons. One of my favorite lessons is about a man who found a wild horse. Everybody in his village said, "What great luck!" And the man just said, "Maybe." Then his son was riding the wild horse and was thrown off and broke his leg. Everybody said, "Oh, what bad luck." And the man said, "Maybe." The next day, the army came to town and took all the young men for war. When they saw the man's son's broken leg, they left him with his father. Everybody said, "What great luck." And the man said, "Maybe." This lesson and this book teaches that we don't always know what happens to us. If we don't always know if what happens to us is good or bad, or what things mean.
The book is called Zen Shorts. It's by John Muth, M-U-T-H. Thank you, Julia. Thank you.
like a baritone. Never take a shower, it's an awful pain. Singing in the shower is like singing in the rain. Oh, there's dirt to be abolished, but don't forget one thing. While the body's washed and polished, sing, brother, sing. You can yodel opera, even while you scrub.
Baby Piachi.
Everybody's happy while singing in the tub.
Singing in the bathtub is one of the things I know I love to do. I don't know if anybody else sings in the bathtub. I'm guessing, Sienna, do you sing in the bathtub? Honestly?
Sometimes.
Do you sing in the shower?
Yeah.
I sing in the shower too. I think I sing in key if I'm singing in the shower. In fact, I'm pretty sure. And I have a neighbor and he sings in key when he mows his lawn. And so he sings very loud, mowing his lawn, and he's definitely in key when he's singing, mowing his lawn.
It's so funny. Why do you always sound better when you're singing when you're not, like, when you don't have to?
There's no logic, actually.
Maybe there's the echo off the wall and you can hear yourself, so.
That could be. I wanted to make one book recommendation here for kids. This is going out for kids. Oh, really, they could be any age from maybe 3 years old on. And it's called Malala's Magic Pencil. And indeed, it's written by Malala Yousafzai, the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. And Malala had a long, interesting story to her life, but she actually was shot in a terrible place in her face on the way to going to school in Pakistan, where people have been trying to stop girls from going to school. Malala's vision and goal in life is to make sure that all girls have a chance at education. Malala's Magic Pencil is a great summer read. It is published by Little Brown, and it's by Malala Yousafzai.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit dedicated to producing high-quality kids' public radio. Support provided by listeners just like you. Learn more at childrenshour.org. Follow us on social media. We're at TCH Radio. The Children's Hour will be right back.
It would be hard not to notice the Santa Fe Opera House from the highway north of Santa Fe. It looks like a sailboat was gently placed on the desert hillside, and up close it's very majestic. The Santa Fe Opera House is one of the only open-air opera houses in the United States. There are no walls, so as you watch an opera, you can also watch the sunset and the wind blowing across the red hills dotted with pinon and juniper trees. When I got there, I met up with the Santa Fe Opera's Director of Community Engagement, Andrea Fellows-Walters. Andrea was busy because opening night for the opera is this weekend, and there were busy people getting ready everywhere. First off, what is opera?
That's a really great question, Sienna. Can I ask you what you think opera is first, and we'll see if your idea of opera and my idea of opera line up?
Well, I think that most kids think that it's a bunch of people in crazy costumes singing like, ah! But I don't know what it really is.
Okay, crazy costumes, a lot of times that happens. And singing like that, that kind of way that we think opera singers sing, unamplified and really like large sound, that is a big part of what we do. My idea of what opera is three things. Opera is story and music. It's spectacular in nature, bigger than life. And opera plays with time. There's temporal disparity. But what I think most people would say opera is that are in the world of opera is storytelling that involves all of the arts.
Why is the Santa Fe Opera world renowned?
In great part, the Santa Fe Opera is world renowned because Santa Fe itself is a destination for people all over the world. I don't know how much you've traveled, Sienna, but when you go to other places and you talk about New Mexico or Santa Fe, have you had the experience? And then people say to you, oh, Santa Fe, I've always wanted to go there, or New Mexico, tell me what that's like. Have you ever had that happen to you?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Is it kind of surprising? It's like, well, we live there, but I think sometimes we forget how awesome it is here and how beautiful it is and how magical it is here and how all these cultures come together in this way that they don't anywhere else in the world. So there's the Santa Fe of it that makes Santa Fe Opera world-renowned. What also makes it world-renowned is artists from all over the world come here to make opera. So people come from all over the world to have that experience. However, in our audience, 45% of our audience is from New Mexico, so that's pretty cool too.
And what's the difference between opera and musical theater?
So back to my definition. I bet you can help me answer that question now. What do you think one of the differences is?
Opera, it seems like, is pretty much all singing, and musical theater has dialogue in it.
You got it.
Can you tell us about the history of this, like, of the Santa Fe Opera?
This is the Santa Fe Opera's 63rd season. The company was founded by a man named John Crosby, who was truly a visionary. He saw this place, Santa Fe, as a world destination. He also saw this as an opportunity to keep American singers in the United States rather than for them to travel to Europe and establish their careers there. And he was one of the first general directors to start a festival, an opera festival. He also is the first general director to be smart and savvy enough to start young artist programs for both singers and technicians. Now, opera companies all over the country and the world are doing that, but it started here in New Mexico.
What is the history of opera in general? Like, where did it come from?
Well, it actually kind of came out of a club. A group of men in Florence called the Camerata got together and started putting together operas. And then there more and more people started hearing about it. And opera, not unlike what we hear about Shakespeare, started out as an art form of the people. So now we have this idea of opera being expensive, not for them because it's sung in other languages. But for centuries, it really was something that people with different amounts of money in their pocketbooks would go to operas.
And why is opera often in foreign languages?
It's the language of the composer or the librettist. And for those in our listening audience that don't know what a librettist is, that's the person who puts together the words. And it's because that's their language of origin. However, there are composers like Puccini. He's Italian. However, La Bohème takes place in Paris. So it's about France, and Paris and the Parisians. So you would think the language would not be Italian. However, it is.
And how did the costumes and makeup become so elaborate?
I think they became so elaborate because they could. Also because of the time periods they're representing, I think it's just a natural fit that they're wearing grand gowns because that was the look of that period. And in order to make those gowns and make them look stage-worthy, and stage-worthy means that when someone's sitting 20 rows back, the costume still looks really beautiful. So that when you look up at it up close, maybe it's not like what you or I would wear if we were going to a fancy party. Well, not we wouldn't probably wear that kind of ball gown anyway, but in terms of the design. And we'll see more of that when we go backstage.
Andrea took me backstage and around the opera. There, I met Paul Horpodal.
I'm the production and facilities director here at the opera. So that means I'm supervising everything that people could touch. So costumes, scenery, lighting, the paint. And then I also supervise the building we're sitting in and all of the other buildings on the campus.
Can you give us some history of the architecture and of this building?
The first opera building was built on the same spot and opened in 1957. At that time, there was only a canopy, a roof over the stage area, and nothing over the audience. Then that building, which was built out of redwood, it burned down in 1967 in the middle of the season. And that winter, a whole new theater was built, and that includes the stage like we see it now with the sidewalls, and also gave us shop space, and it gave us a balcony and a partial roof over the audience. Then in 1997, at the end of the 1997 season, we tore the whole auditorium down and took the roof off the stage and put it all back together and with a roof that actually covers the entire audience now. And so this design is by a New York architect named James Polshek, who is trying to keep the essence of the previous theaters, but build it in a more modern way and still fit in with the landscape of Santa Fe. That gave us a roof that no longer rains straight in, but it does sometimes rain in the sides. Also in 1998, we added our title system, which is a little screen on the back of each seat. And that translates the opera from the language it's being sung in to either English or Spanish for our audience to follow along with.
What are some of the challenges of working in this building?
I think the big challenges is the weather. We're susceptible to winds that could gust from 40 to 60 miles an hour. So we have to engineer all of our scenery to stand up to that kind of wind. There's also a certain amount of rain that can come in, so we plan for everything to get wet at some point. And that means that we have to think carefully about how we're painting the scenery, how we're finishing it. Same with the clothes, the costumes that people are wearing. Everything has to take those things into consideration. If there's curtains in a window on the set, we have to tie those curtains down somehow so they don't constantly blow through the evening and distract people. That's probably the biggest challenge. The second is that a normal opera house has a space above the stage for lifting scenery up and down. And that's what makes operas move very elegantly and very quickly in a normal theater. Since we can't do that, again, because of the wind, we have to think about how to make all of those changes by hand at ground level instead. So it's actually quite fun and fascinating because it makes the designers and the director rethink how they can make the magic of that environment. And we get to help them engineer that and make it come to life.
And kind of on the opposite side, but what are some of your favorite things about this building and working with this space?
Oh boy, there's a whole list. I love being in my kind of job in the theater, in the opera, and being able to be outdoors so much. If I were in an indoor, and when I've worked in an indoor opera house, a whole day can go and you don't know that the sun has ever come out, or if it's rained or snowed or anything. Here, as we're rehearsing, you get to watch the clouds move by and watch thunderstorms approach and look out at the stars at night and listen to the birds singing along in rehearsal. So it's a little bit like being on vacation, even though you're working so hard.
Thank you.
I love costumes, so I couldn't wait to see the costume shop. I met Missy West, costume director for the Santa Fe Opera.
What is the process of making a costume?
First, we have to get a design from the designer. And once we know what it is they would like to see, then we begin the process of hunting down the fabric that we're going to use. We have to have highly skilled drapers and their team of first hands and stitchers that will then take a drawing and actually create the patterns and the garments that you see in that picture.
About how long does it take to actually make a whole costume?
It depends on the costume. Sometimes tailoring a man's suit can take longer, but if you're doing, a big ball gown that has a lot of beading and trim on it, that would take a long time too. So it can take as much as a week for one person to build one costume. So what you're seeing in this room are five draping and tailoring teams. And they're made up of a team head who is a draper or tailor. They've had many years of experience. They have two first hands, so they are their first assistants. And then there are two professional stitchers and four apprentices who come in to learn to do what we're doing. Also in this room, which you can't really see, we have a millinery team, we have a crafts team, we have a dyeing team, and they do all of the, say, I've got a piece of white fabric, but I want it to be blue. They're the ones that will do that. So that's what you're seeing in this room. On their racks that you'll see, each team has a rack, and there are paper patterns. That comes from the draping process, where they'll drape onto a form fabric, take it off, redraw it on the paper. So then, see, if you look right over there, Lara is drawing out that pattern piece that will then get cut, and then that will be sewn into, actually, that's going to be a tuxedo. That's the process. So there's a lot that happens before you even cut the fabric. It's a very learned and a highly skilled process, and I have a really good shop.
We're here with Mary Birdbaum, director of La Boheme. A lot of kids, it seems like, they might think opera is boring, you know, it's not for them. What would you say?
Well, I think what's really cool about opera is the fact that, first of all, there's a lot of kids' choruses in opera. There's a lot of music for kids, so you can come to La Boheme and see kids on stage, kids your own age. And then also, what's really interesting for kids is the opportunity to hear an orchestra live supporting a cast of singers who are telling a story live on stage. It's way more exciting and engrossing than watching a movie on Netflix, because it really, the sound actually reaches you in the audience. It's like a physical experience of the vibrations from the stage.
And how can kids get involved in opera?
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunities to get involved in opera. You can reach out to your local opera company and see if they need people to intern or usher or even sing on stage. You can watch opera online. There's a ton of opera on YouTube that you can sort of get to know the stories, the big stories that are told. It's basically just theater, but there's an orchestra.
How did you get your start in directing?
Well, I was in the kids' chorus in the Metropolitan Opera, and I sang on stage there, and I was bitten by the opera bug and thought, oh, I have to do this. The amount of people who are connecting and collaborating to tell a story is just so exciting, and the energy from that being on stage experience was so enthralling that I felt like I needed to continue that for the rest of my life.
It was an incredibly fascinating experience to go backstage and to understand what it takes to put on an opera and to get a behind-the-scenes tour during opening week. From the Santa Fe Opera in Santa Fe, New Mexico, for the Children's Hour, I'm Sienna Allen.
am singing you home, child. I am singing you home. I am taking a long, deep breath and singing you home. It's all I can do, child. I am singing you home.
Te canto paz y esperanza sobre montes empinados y amplios. Te canto fuerza y valor sobre aguas tan frías y hondas. Cuando llega atardecer, te canto un suave arroyo, mi niño bello.
I am singing you safe, child. I am singing you safe. I will sing to you. Respiro profundo y canto que vuelvas donde sea que estés, te voy acercando, no me queda más, mi niño, canto que vuelvas. No me queda más, mi niño, canto que vuelvas.
From a benefit release, the title track, Singing You Home, Songs for Family Reunification, that was Audra McDonald and Jason Robert Brown. Summer means school is out, but that doesn't mean children who depend upon school breakfasts and lunches need to go hungry. The USDA Food and Nutrition Service distributes free lunches all summer long to children nationwide. To find a site near you anywhere in the United States, go to summerfoodrocks.org.
You're listening to the Children's Hour,
Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
It was the hottest day in July. We were sweaty on the porch, just my brother and I. My dad said, boys, when we were young, this is the way we lived when the heat just stung. We'd mix the sweet with the sour, whoa. And we could just sit there for hours, whoa, with the ice and the lemon and the sugar in the shade. We were all grown up. Lemonade. Let's take a poster board and a marker.
Let it be the hottest day.
We'll make those big black letters darker.
Let it be the hottest day.
And then we'll tape it to the table. That sign we made, it says 25 cents. Lemonade. It was the hottest day in July.
Had to be the hottest day.
The air was thick, not a cloud in the sky.
Had to be the hottest day.
And when I called out to my dog, you know, he just stayed. He was like air conditioning, and I was like lemonade. You gotta mix the sweet with the sour.
The sweet with the sour.
Might have to sit there for hours. Whoa. Top of a coffee can, it's how we get paid, you know, we're all grown up. Lemonade. Now it won't be long until the day's gone, and we'll wonder if supper is made. We'll have to pack the whole thing up and go inside. Lemonade. Gotta mix the sweet with the sour, whoa.
Sweet with the sour.
Might have to sit there for hours, whoa.
Sit there for hours.
And all the people in the church are walking out cause they just prayed. But the one thing they're really thinking about is lemonade. You gotta mix the sweet with the sour, whoa.
Sweet with the sour.
Might have to sit there for hours, whoa. Tell them what we made. Better get it while it lasts, cause the summer's going fast. Lemonade. It was the hottest day in July.
Had to be the hottest day.
It was the hottest day in July.
Hot, hot, hot.
I mean, with the ice and the lemon and the sugar in the shade, we were all grown up. Lemonade. 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 Lemonade.
This is Loop
Lucas Griego with your top three book series for the summer. Omens, Prophecies, Cats, Clans. The Warriors book series has it all. Warriors has a thrilling plot line. Warriors is a book about four clans. Each clan is filled with wild cats. They have to fight for their territory and their food. This book or series is rated age 10+. The second book series I recommend for the summer is Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Diary of a Wimpy Kid is a very funny series about a kid called Greg Heffley, and he's trying to find his way through middle school. It's a very laugh-out-loud book. You can read it with parents, read it anywhere, really. You have a camping trip, read it. It's very light reading, and it's a graphic novel. The author is Jeff Kinney. He has about 14 to 15 books, and if you want more, if you're done or if you already read it all, there's another book. It's called Diary of an Awesome Friendly Kid. It is Rowley's perspective on everything. If you do not know who Rowley is, he is Greg's best friend. This is Rowley's perspective, again, written by Jeff Kinney. Another series that I would strongly recommend for summer reading is Harry Potter. Now, you've probably already heard of it all, but if you haven't read it, then you're missing out on some very good books. But don't fear, this summer would be a great time to catch up on your Harry Potter. In case you have been in an ogre's cave for the past 20 years, it's a book about wizards, witches, and evil power. Amazing stuff. That was my list of book series for the summer reading. Bye!
She likes to read, we like to read, and they like to read. Everybody likes to read. I like to read, you like to read, he likes to read, she likes to read, we like to read, and they like to read. Everybody likes to read. Ever been on a plane? There's books. Ever been on a train? There's books. Ever been to Spain? There's books. Their books written in Spanish. I like to read, you like to read, he likes to read, she likes to read, we like to read, and they like to read. Everybody likes to read. I like to read, you like to read, he likes to read, she likes to read, we like to read, and they like to read. Everybody likes to read. Mom's reading a book about stars. Dad's reading a book about cars. Daisy's reading a book about Mars. One day she liked to go there. I like to read, you like to read, he likes to read, she likes to read, we like to read, and they like to read. Everybody likes to read. I like to read, you like to read, he likes to read, she likes to read, we like to read, and they like to read. Everybody likes to read. Grandma's reading a book about cats. Grandpa's reading a book about hats. William's reading a book about bats. 'Cause he went to Carl's Bad Caverns. I like to read, you like to read, he likes to read, she likes to read, we like to read, and they like to read. Everybody likes to read. I like to read, you like to read, he likes to read, she likes to read, we like to read.
In the background, and they like to read. Andy Mason, like New Mexican artist. And I like to read. Siobhan, you're at the mic. You like to read?
My book recommendation is called Where the Heart Is, and it's by Joe Knowles. And it's about the summer before eighth grade and a girl named Rachel, and she's just really trying to figure out her life. And there are so many things that are changing and just becoming so different. And she's really trying to figure out who she is as a person and what's happening to her and why everything is happening to her. And it's really a book about a bunch of chapters of her life closing and a bunch more that are very good happening, or opening.
What ages would you say this book is for? It's a chapter book.
Maybe 10 plus.
So again, tell us the name of the book and the author, John Knowles.
Where the Heart Is, and it's by Joe Knowles.
Thank you, Siobhan.
Thank you.
pavement burns, the soles of my feet. Temperature's rising and I can't take the heat. Don't you know there's a place I like to go? When the sun is climbing high in the sky, no shade around and I think I might die. There's a place puts a smile on my face. Talking about swimming, swimming in the water, diving like a dolphin, splashing like an otter. Might be an ocean, might be a pool, might be a puddle, just as long as it's cool. I got to jump in, I got to get my rump in. Could be a pond or a river that flows, could be a bathtub. You know, it could be a hose, it doesn't matter. As long as it's water, it gets me so high to dive so low, playing water tag or Marco Polo.
Marco, Marco, hey, Marco. Guys, get out. Where are you?
I'm jumping in with a big belly fly. You better watch out. You're gonna get sopped. I ain't joking. No, no. You're gonna be soaking. Soaking. Soaking.
The Children's Hour was written and produced by Katie Stone with help from all of us on the Children's Hour crew.
Engineering support provided this week by Andres Martinez and Jerry DeTazza.
You've been listening to The Children's Hour, broadcasting from Albuquerque, New Mexico's Sunspot Studios. Tune in next week to this station for another edition of The Children's Hour. This is Angelique Kidjo.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit dedicated to producing high-quality kids' public radio. Support provided by the Friends of the Children's Hour. Find out more at childrenshour.org. There you can also find our podcasts, photos from the shows, and our newsletter sign-up. Meow Wolf is a proud supporter of the Children's Hour. Meow Wolf believes that engaging educational content is one of the best ways to fuel a child's imagination, and that's truly a powerful thing. MeowWolf.com. Support also provided by the Albuquerque Community Foundation's Infinite Gesture Fund. Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow. We'll be back next week with another edition of
The Children's Hour!
Kids Public Radio!